the morning, so I will have plenty of time to look over your exam, because I can't watch too much TV over there. Don't know what they're saying, so we'll have plenty of time to go over your exams. And plus, I still have some people taking the exam, so I'll be sure to go over it. Last week, we were together in chapter 14, and I want to finish chapter 14 because we're getting over into what I call, or what the author called, the five governing principles on legacy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your son Jesus paying the price that we can delve into your word and have a clear understanding. Thank you for the blood that was shed that calls us to give us a right to come into your presence. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can properly escort us in the mind of God. So we yield to you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The five governing principles of legacy. Now, these are very important because it's going to give us, it's going to kind of put parameters on the rules of engagement. The first one is that the honor of fathers cannot be taken away. The honor of fathers cannot be taken away. Jesus said it this way, no matter how great I become, I could never be greater than the Father. That's not the words of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus was laying down a principle there. No matter how talented we become, no matter how anointed we become, we can never surpass the person that begat us. Does that make sense? And so this puts us in a position that when we understand that the honor can never be taken away from our fathers and our mothers, our spiritual father and our spiritual mother, those that have birthed into us the life of Christ, those that have birthed into us, have poured themselves into us, the honor can, I don't care if they no longer can speak. I don't care if they no longer can do anything. The honor has to still be there. Even though we may be doing some things in their place, the honor has to remain intact. So the first thing, the first governing, first governor of a legacy is that the honor of fathers cannot be taken away. The author said he is still the father of the house, even if he is paralyzed and bedridden. That's something else. Go to, I think I can find it, Genesis, the, I think it's the sixth chapter. Go to Genesis, the sixth chapter. I want to show you something here that really promotes this. This is the second chapter. I wasn't expecting to go there, so I may need your help finding it, but I think it's Genesis, the sixth chapter. Oh, let's see. Talking about Noah, I want to get after Noah, after Noah done come out and his son found his son found him drunk. Where is that? Let's see. It got to be maybe the eighth chapter. Let's take a moment to find it because I wasn't expecting to go there. Got time to find it. Well, it's Ham that was cursed, right? Chapter 9, verse 20. Go there. Chapter 9, Genesis 9. Yep. Now, I want you to see something here. This is very important. Because it shows how much God promotes honor. And how much he dislikes dishonor. This is very important that we read this. Notice what the author says. The author says this. The honor of fathers cannot be what? Taken away. All right? Here it is in Genesis, the ninth chapter, in the 20th verse. It said, Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done unto him. He said, "Cursed be Canaan, and servant of servant shall he be to his brother." And he said, "Bless the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tent of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." Now see, here it is, God, honor is something else. But here it is, God backed up Noah, and Noah was the one that was drunk. Is this not amazing? God backed up Noah. God did exactly what Noah said. Noah said, "Ham, you cursed. Shem and Japheth, you're blessed." This is after Noah had become intoxicated on his own success. Honor can never be taken away from the father. Another great example, we went over this before, was when gave Samuel to be trained by Eli. And the word of the Lord came to Samuel. And he kept running Eli, he throws Eli's voice. After God spoke to Samuel that night, the next morning, Eli had to threaten Samuel to tell him what thus said the Lord. Because what the Lord was telling Samuel was, Eli cannot be my priest no more. Him and his sons are doing that. They're not doing right in my house. Therefore, I rejected them. There's a change going to be made. Samuel had so much respect and so much honor for Eli as his father that he did not want to take the honor from him. So Eli had to threaten him. Eli took his anger. He said, "If you don't tell me what the Lord told you, whatever he told you, I pronounce it on you." And that's the time he said, "Oh, no, I don't want this on my life. I'm going to tell you what it is." But it's just the honor that Samuel had for Eli. So the honor of the father, the honor of the mother can never be taken away. See, that once again, we're back on this. Here's what ego and pride have to be kept in check. Because we can be anointed. We can have doors open for us. We can have favor in our lives. But we have got to remember that it was somebody else that opened the door before we ever put our hand on the knob. Are you seeing this? If you can keep that in mind, if you can keep and understand that no matter how much the Lord blesses me, no matter how much the Lord increases me, no matter how much he does for me, I can never be greater than who came before me. Because if it wasn't for the foundation that they laid in your life, the blessings of the Lord that you're currently receiving and currently experiencing will have no foundation to stand on. Are you seeing this? Very important that we maintain that. Number two, the wisdom of the fathers must be transferred for legacy to continue. Are you seeing this? The wisdom of the fathers must be transferred for legacy to continue. Wisdom is the sum total of all that we have lived by in kingdom values, in divine relationship, and in divine character. The sum total of the full expression of God's work in us and through us. Talk about his wisdom. It allows us to be ahead of our enemies. God placed the spirit of wisdom on Joshua as he entered into the promised land to conquer the territories for possession. Turn to Joshua, the first chapter. And let me tell you why the wisdom of the fathers must be transferred for the legacy to continue. So in other words, our intelligence is not good enough. How much we know is not good enough. We must have the wisdom or the know-how of our fathers in order for the agenda to be continued. Joshua, the first chapter. I found this fascinating when I first saw this. He said, watch this. Let's see. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. This is God talking to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their father to give them. Watch verse 7. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua didn't get any new instructions. So if he had not been paying attention to what Moses was doing, he'd have had no clue as to what God wanted to do. So the wisdom of Moses, he had to grab hold of it in order to continue to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. So this is important for us to realize that the wisdom of our forefathers, the wisdom of our fathers, we have to grab hold of it. It's not good enough that we know a lot. That's not important that you know a lot. You can know a lot and get nothing done. But it's good to know a lot and then have wisdom on how to get things done. Are you seeing this? Watch this. The wisdom of Joshua allowed him to act wisely in the midst of his enemies. This wisdom gave him the accurate strategy to synergize the warrior of Israel for the battle. Watch this. Now, the wisdom of God is something else. Because the wisdom of God, go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Something about the wisdom of God that makes him this unique. Just look in verse 5. It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world. Now this is important. Paul said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, them that are mature. See, maturity has to come into place before you can ever attach or gain the wisdom of your father. If you don't have the wisdom, then you won't access. If you don't have the maturity, you can't access the wisdom. See, this is a problem we have with a lot of ministers today. They don't want to mature. How do we mature? We mature when we let government mature us. When we allow government to mature us, then we can have every right and access to the wisdom of our fathers. You see here, he says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world. Watch that. Now, watch the wisdom of God. Now, watch this. Nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our success. Now watch this. Watch the wisdom of God. Watch how God did this. Which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, they couldn't figure out who Jesus was. Satan could not figure out who Jesus was. Watch the difference between intelligence, knowing something, and having wisdom. Satan knew Jesus was coming the whole time. He had that information. He knew that. He knew that the whole time. From the time he began to do his thing, he knew God was making preparations for man to be redeemed. Ever since he tricked Adam and Eve, he knew God was making preparations to redeem man. He knew that. But his knowledge could not prepare him for the wisdom of God. God's wisdom hid Christ until Satan realized of who he was. Because remember now, Matthew's the fourth chapter, and in Luke the fourth chapter, he came and found Jesus. We know it's Jesus because we know 2020, hindsight is 2020. He didn't know who Jesus was because he kept saying, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. Jesus never answered him. The only person that was able to recognize who Jesus was Peter. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what Jesus replied to him was, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but only my Father who is in heaven." Are you seeing it? You see the wisdom of God. So it's important that we gain the wisdom of our fathers rather than just what they know. It's good to have information. Let me say it like this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You not only want the information, but you want the impartation. The impartation carries the wisdom. The information positions you to receive the impartation. The inside the impartation is the wisdom of God. The sons have access to the spirit of wisdom that is upon the Father. They need to walk circumspectly to continue in the legacy of the Father. Thirdly, this is awesome. The sons start from the ceiling of their father's accomplishment. The sons start from the ceiling of their father's accomplishment. The first point that the author makes is, watch this. We do not have to reinvent the wheel, but move on to what is already available. Are you seeing this? I see it pretty much like this. Most people, I learned this about 6 years ago about track. I've never run track, so I was an athlete and I played ball, but I never ran track. So if you don't run track, there's certain things that go on in the track field. If you don't know it, you're not looking for it, you don't know what to expect. But a gentleman who coaches track sat down and talked to me one time, and just out of the blue, he started talking about track and the techniques of track and really running a relay. So he said, running the 4x100 relay, he said, there is a space on the track that's marked that when the first leg takes off, when you get ready to get to the second leg can take off ahead of time. And when the baton is passed, the second leg is already at full speed. Same thing happens when the second reaches the third leg and the third reaches the fourth leg. Well, what God, that's just an example of what God is trying to do with us. We ought to be already full speed ahead whenever the agenda is passed on. See, it's not about us trying to start from scratch. We already should be at full speed by the time God gives us our full assignment and what we ought to be carrying out. That means we got to be in position. We got to be ready, mature, perfected. And we have to be already running with the same direction of the agenda. Have you ever seen, I've never seen it, but have you ever seen somebody run a relay and all of a sudden they get a baton to turn around and run the other way? No, you never seen it. Because what's the point? What's the purpose? What's the use? In ministry, that's what a lot of people do. They get the baton and turn around and run the other way. And the will of God is never accomplished. Are you seeing this? So, we have to realize that we start from the ceiling of the Father's accomplishment. It shouldn't be us having to repeat or reinvent anything. It shouldn't be us having to take territory that's already been taken. It shouldn't be us trying to accomplish things that have already been accomplished. We should be able to springboard off of those accomplishments, springboard off of those territories being taken to do further and greater things. Jesus said this way, the work that ye do shall be greater than the works that just come out of the mouth of Jesus. What Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying, I'm laying a foundation for you to do more than I could ever do in the earth realm. Does that mean we're greater than Jesus? No. That just simply means that we can now step on Jesus' shoulders. What the Bible says, Isaiah 9:6, he said, the government shall be upon his shoulders. So that means we can stand on the shoulders of Jesus and go higher. Are you seeing this? See, this is how government works. This is how agenda works. I expect, physically, you expect, those of us with kids, with children, you expect your children, your siblings, your children, and your offspring to do more than what you've done. Any parent that don't want their children to do more than what they've done is a sad parent. And I'll tell them to their face. You always want your children to do more than what you accomplished. Somebody keeps telling us all the time, telling my brothers and my three brothers and my sisters, y'all should do more than what I'm doing. And I'm sitting there like, Lord Jesus, I don't know how this is going to happen. You know, Lord, you're going to have to really anoint us. But that's what he expects. That's what my mom expects. They expect us to do more. So watch this, how they expect us to do more. We should not repeat the same mistakes that they made. That means we have got to be paying attention. Are you serious? We should not, as ministers of the gospel, we should not repeat the same mistakes that our fathers make. We should be able to start off at their feeling of their accomplishments. Are you seeing this? But it's going to take a yielding to allow them to mature us, allow them to grow us, allow them to impart to us wisdom, allow them to impartation into our lives so that we can have the wherewithal, the strength, the fortitude, the character, the anointing to start where they left off. Watch this. The working relationship of trust and integrity will give the sons the right foundation to embrace what their fathers have done. And watch this. Take it to the next level. That's the whole purpose of the transfer of legacy, is to take it to the next level. They can perfect what their fathers have done by the greater use of what they have and the technological skills and advancement in their days. Number four, because I'm late, we almost finished. Number four, the governing principle for the lives of fathers and sons is that the father's mandate and commission is the parameter for the assignment of the son. Did you see that? Did you see what that said? I want you to notice the word, because the very, very important word, parameter. 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 Other words, boundary. That's a very important word. Governing principle, I want to read it again. The governing principle for the lives of fathers and sons is that the father's mandate and commission. I need to read this in LTMA. ASAP. The lives of the father and son is that the father's mandate and commissioning is the parameter for the assignment of his son. Other words, see, before I go into this, because our society is so self-centered, and our society does not understand government, that I need to backtrack before we go any further with this and begin to build a foundation very briefly. Number one, you should not follow nobody until God has illuminated your heart to follow that person. So that means God has spoken to you and said, this is what you're supposed to do. This is who you're supposed to follow. All right? So now, since God has spoken this into your life and said, this is who you're supposed to be following, whoever it may be, this is who you're supposed to be following, that means God sees something in you that can only be brought to the surface by them. All right? So if that's the case, that means God trusts them enough. Are you seeing this? To be able to mold you into what God wants you to be. So if that's the case, then this statement I have got to apply to my life. That the Father's mandate, what the agenda of the Father is, and what commissions or what sending forth that the Father does, is my boundaries as his son. So watch this. If the Father hadn't commissioned me to do it, I'm not going out and do it. Are you seeing? Is this making sense? I'm not going outside of the parameters of what his mandate and commission is to me. Are you seeing this? This is the toughest one to deal with
because some people are so hot for ministry and so uptight for ministry that they totally forget about this. They totally forget about the government. They totally forget about the agenda. Are you holding me back? You know, God spoke to me 20 years ago. Okay, wait a minute. I have issues with this now. Because last I checked, God got the author confusion. Right? So if God told so somebody either misheard or somebody lied. Either God lied, you misheard, something happened. If God told you that, hey, this person is useful, this is the person you're supposed to follow. Then all of a sudden, when you're following, if they don't move at your pace to what you want, now all of a sudden, are y'all saying this? See, Joshua played his position with perfection. Moses told him, I need 12 spies. And when him and Caleb went in, and they were the only two come back and saw what was needed to be seen. The rest of them couldn't see it. You didn't hear no more from Joshua. Joshua was just there serving Moses. He was just serving Moses. I mean, for years, serving. Not even knowing that Moses was going to ever die. Not even any opportunity was ever going to be there. But he just kept serving. Because he did not leave the parameter of the mandate that was on Moses' life and the commissioning of Moses. That's government. Are you seeing this? Watch this. God gave the same commissioning to Joshua as he did to Moses. So if Joshua, matter of fact, the way God gave it to him, God said, whatever I told Moses, that's what you do. Now, if Joshua had not been paying attention, if Joshua had not been close enough to understand Moses' agenda that God had given him, he'd have been clueless when God told him, I want you to do the same thing Moses was doing. Watch this. God spoke to Elijah of the assignment, the ones which he commissioned Elijah. God also placed the same passion in the heart of David for the ark as he did in the heart of Samuel. Are you seeing the commission, the mandate? No word for mandate is agenda. No word for mandate is assignment. What passion I have? God, what the passion that God has placed in my father's heart? Whatever passion that God has placed in my father's heart has to become my passion. Are you seeing this? It makes no sense. I tell gentlemen this all the time. It makes no sense for them to try to follow Apostle Thompson and have an issue with money. What? Why you have an issue? Because you're going to constantly have conflict in your life. If you follow Apostle Thompson and you have issues with money, you constantly going to have conflict. You constantly going to have issues. You're going to have issues with what he says. You're going to have issues with what he do. Because of the mandate that's on his life. Are you seeing this? For the continuation of the legacy, the fathers and sons must hear, O Lord. For the continuation of the legacy, the fathers and sons must hear from the same primary source of heaven. Wow. God has attuned both categories, father and son, to the same frequency. Lastly, on this one, as sons, we need to connect accurately in covenant so that we can be partakers of the covenant and custodians of the truth. I'm going to say it another way. The author said custodians of the truth. I'm going to say it this way. And be custodians of the mandate. Be custodians of the mandate. Wow. Fifthly, last one. The fathers must all serve their generation well and set the pattern as a model for the ensuing generation to follow after. Moses served his generation well, and he set the pattern and benchmark of how we can finish our assignment accurately. Are you seeing this? See, this is why you don't quickly attach yourself to anybody who call themselves a leader, call themselves a father, call themselves a pastor. First of all, God got to speak to me. After God speaks to me, now I need to see, what are you doing? What results? What? Here's the way that the bishopric is really supposed to be processed. You're supposed to have what's called ecclesiastical, a lineage. They should be able to trace your lineage, your spiritual lineage, back to one of the apostles. One of the first 12. Well, otherwise, this simply what they're saying is, okay, this person brought you up in the Lord. Okay, who brought them up in the Lord? All right, who brought them up in the Lord? Okay, who brought them up in the Lord? Okay, who brought them up in the Lord? See, the genealogy of Jesus is very important. Matthew's first chapter is very important. Because the one thing that the genealogy of Jesus shows is that covenant is important. Because again, who begat who? Who begat who? Every last one of those ones that begat this person was covenant keepers of what God wanted. If you remember now, Ruth, who was on the outside, got engrafted in because she fell in love with Naomi. That's covenant. And so that genealogy led to the birth of Jesus Christ. So here it is. You can't just get connected to anybody. You got to make sure who you connected to, because whoever you connected to is setting a pattern for how you're going to behave. I see it now. In a negative way, we have people that join LTMA, and you begin to look at their lineage, and you begin to see some bad habits that they develop that their fathers had. And so we have to try to, they got to ask them, because some things I tell them, he just ain't doing. Some things he's just not doing it that way. He's just not doing it that way. And so if he ain't doing it that way, he's just not doing it that way. So you can't bring what you were into what is now. Have to make some changes. And so you start to see, you begin to tell, it's funny, but you can tell who their spiritual father was without even them telling you. Because you can see some of the ways, the characteristics, some of the ways that they do things, the way, some integrity issues. Because the people you dealt with, some fathers I've dealt with in the past, I've had experience because Dr. Thompson has been exposed to, you can tell, oh, they come from that person that they trained them up to a T. Are you seeing this? Because your father always says, how many times have you said in your life, I ain't going to never be like my mom and dad. And now you're starting to realize, you're starting to see some of the same things, you told your children some of the same things that they told you. And when you were there, when they were telling you, like, I ain't going to ever do it. I can't say I ain't going to ever do it. Now you find yourself, the Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff had a song about parents just don't understand. And when my first daughter was born, I was like, I'm starting not to understand. I'm becoming the parents that don't understand. I thought I knew, but some of the things they do, I don't understand. No, I'm just as dumb as my parents were. Are you seeing this? You become like, why? Because it always sets the pattern. So fathers set the pattern for sons and daughters. And that's on purpose. God designed it that way. Jesus, God set the pattern. Jesus followed through. Are you seeing that? God set the pattern. Jesus followed through with the pattern. The only reason why Jesus was able to die on the cross is because he followed the pattern of the Father. He was a man that knew no sin. God knows no sin. You see what I'm saying? He was a man after God's own heart. So therefore, he had every right to be that sacrificial lamb. Why? Because God set the pattern and Jesus followed. Are you seeing this? Let's go over the five again, because this is important. One, the honor of fathers cannot be taken away. Another scripture in Hebrews in the 7th chapter. I think it's the 7th verse. It says, the less is blessed of the better. Is that talking about the quality of a man? No. Or a woman? No. That's talking about lineage, impartation, fatherhood, motherhood, sons and daughters. The less is always blessed of the better. Now, the better keep blessing the less, eventually the less will become better. Are you seeing this? Number two. The wisdom of the fathers must be transferred for legacy to continue. Number three, the sons start from the stealing
of their father's accomplishment. Number four, the governing principle for the lives of father and son, the fourth principle, is that the father's mandate and commissioning is the parameter for the assignment of the son. So another way to put that is, anytime I feel God is speaking to me, and I'm talking about me personally, anytime I feel that God is speaking to me about me doing something, the first thing I'm going to check is, it does it fit in the mandate and the commissioning of the apostle? If it doesn't, I ain't doing it, because I ain't hear God. Because watch this. Watch how I make sense now. God is not the author of confusion. So why would God come tell me to do something that's going to take me outside of where he placed me? But that can only come, once again, you have to trust your leadership. If you can't trust your leadership, ain't no sense in letting him lead you. If you ever get a question about your leadership holding you back, you're under the wrong leader. Because that means you don't trust your leader. So you define a leader that you can trust. A leader that, when you say the Lord, I think the Lord is telling me to do this, and you say, nope, the Lord ain't telling you to do this. And you set it down. See, we don't like to hear that. We don't want to hear that. Because that ain't spiritual. I think from God myself. Okay, you must remember what God told Miriam. He said, I will speak to Moses face to face. God said that for a reason. Are you saying that? So if God's speaking to me about by doing something, and it places me outside of the mandate and the commission. Now, that's another full word, commissioning. If it places me outside of where I've been sent, if it takes me outside of that parameters of where I've been sent, I'm out of all. You see this? Number five, last. The fathers must all serve their generation well and set the pattern as a model for the ensuing generation to follow after. See, a pattern has to be set. King David set a pattern. I mean, the Bible talks about King David being a man after God's own heart. That's why Solomon was able to do what he did. And he followed very closely because he made some of the same mistakes that David made also. But David set a pattern. See, we can say well by King David, but David set a pattern that allowed, he still was in the lineage of Jesus. He still was a forefather, so therefore no honor can be taken from him. No matter what he did, no honor can be taken from him because he still was one of the forefathers that created the lineage that allowed Jesus Christ to get here on earth. Are we saying this? So those five things are important. Now, I encourage you, that we didn't get a chance to go over them very long, we went over them briefly, but you need to read them and meditate them. Because if you get these five things in your heart, if you get these five principles in your heart, God will honor you in ways that you've never dreamed about. Because there's so many preachers and so many ministers that have no clue about these five things. Have no, ain't trying to practice this. Ain't looking to practice this. Don't want to hear this. Because they figure it's holding them back. All right?